Hi, this is John Allsop with another 5-a-day internet marketing podcast. First thing is that I just spent 30 minutes unhacking someone's blog. So use good passwords. Often I'm given people's passwords and they're really basically not secure. You want 8 characters. Mix upper and lower case. Don't use any words that you would find in a dictionary or names or anything like that. Nothing that's linked to dates, no ABCs and 0, 1, 2, 3s, none of that. Mix in upper and lower case. Numbers, have a little bit of punctuation in there. 8 characters and you should be fine. Otherwise, you're going to wake up one day and find somebody's compromised your Facebook page or your blog or your whatever. And not only is it going to take time to fix, if it's something like Facebook, it's just embarrassing. And you could get your account stopped, which is no fun. So use good passwords. Next thing is now Russell Brand. He's a Marmite kind of character, but one of the things in his book that I really, really liked was an idea that the future is just like now, but it's in a little while. It's not a mythical kingdom. You'll feel like you do now. So for me, that's quite motivational, and it links in with some studies on language as well, which said if the language, I'm going to get this wrong, but basically that they managed to divide languages into two types, one where that was very specific about now and the future and the past, and one that was type that was more general. And one of them, and I can't remember which one it was led people to think about the future very much as them in the future. And for those people using those kinds of languages, they had more pensions and they saved more and they made more plans for the future. The other set, for whom the future was kind of something, they imagined that it wasn't, in a sense, it wasn't going to be them in the future, retired in the retirement home and so on. But the whole point of all of this is that the way you feel now, the you, the essential you, you can remember back to being a child, and it's you, and it'll be you at the end of your life, and it'll be you that dies at the end, and it'll be you that kind of has those final life moments. And it's your future that you're preparing for now. That was kind of what all that's about. So it won't be a different you, it'll be you, the way you feel now. It's just in 20 years' time. Okay, the at symbol on Facebook. It's kind of quite interesting. Have a mess with it. If you've, so you're used to, I assume, on Facebook, if you start typing someone's name, I think the trigger is that you use a capital letter, it'll drop down. You press an S and an A and you'll get Sally and Samantha and so on. Your friends called those names will drop down. But what doesn't happen is pages that you've liked don't appear. But if you type at then and then start typing, you can get to link to pages. And when you do that, your post appears on that page. So that's quite a nice promotional trick that you can use to get to be able to mention pages that you're working on and provide the link as well in a shorthand way. And I think if you are a page and you're working on a page, you can link to other pages. So then you're starting to use reciprocation. So since you've made a mention of the other page, maybe they'll make a mention of you back. So you can mix up your your fan base, you can get people to realize that you're there and like you, and get, you know, you can mix it up. You know what I'm talking about. That raises an interesting question, actually. I'm thinking of, because Facebook pages give you the profile, the demographic profile, so you know whether you're more women than men like your page, and whether, you know, what age range they are. I'm quite liking the idea of inputting that somewhere, and having others type in theirs and then matching up so that you can find partners to share with, so with the same demographic. So that could be quite interesting. Next up is just a quick tip, common sense really, but it was a tip to do with dealing with reporters in interviews and that kind of thing. They will often... I once sent a reporter who did a favourable review for some software that I was working on. It was like 3 or 4 pages, and it was lots of pictures and stuff. It was great. And I sent them a bottle of wine or whatever. And then I read afterwards that that's kind of like an insult, because really the reporter is doing a job. They're not doing you a favour. They're doing a job. And if you take it as a favour and give them a thank you, in a sense that demeans what they're doing, and it also means that they didn't do a balanced piece of reporting, otherwise you'd be upset about the other stuff that they wrote. So to do a good job, a reporter needs to come and see you and interview you, but also give the other side. So they're going to go looking. If you say, well, so they're looking for dirt is the one way you could look at it. So you could feed that and save them some time by saying, well, you know, here's something that didn't go quite so well as we wanted to. This is what happened. Or here's something I've learned from. Here's something I'd have done differently. If you give them those seeds, then that gives them a path to walk along without having to do too much work on digging other stuff that you might not want mentioned. Finally, I don't know if you read the Guardian on Saturday, but there was a great piece in the Colour Supplement, I think, about neuroscience and creativity. And it was... actually, it's nicely illustrated by, if you do a crossword, you'll kind of look at the clue and look at the number of letters and look at what you've got and think about it logically. You might go through the alphabet and so on, think about that, and then you come to an impasse, you come to a stop. And what that is, you know that your brain's organized right to left to right, so... If you're right-handed, you might think of your right hand as the kind of, it's the strongest hand, isn't it? And that actually crosses over, is controlled by the left-hand side of the brain. And the left-hand side is controlled by the right-hand side of the brain. The right-hand side that you might think of as kind of strong scientific type thing, that kind of thinking actually goes on in the left side of the brain. So you're looking at the crossword, you're going through the letters, and it's your left-hand side of the brain that is a bit like a dictionary, knows what words mean in a very literal sense, and it's the one that's going through the alphabet and working out what might be the answer to the crossword question. And then it reaches an impasse, it reaches the end of the road, it's checked everything. And you get this feeling of impasse. It's the I can't do any more. I've done everything that I can possibly do. And that's the feeling of the problem being passed from the left-hand side of the brain to the right-hand side of the brain. Now the right-hand side is the bit that handles jokes and metaphor and thinks about things in a very much more fuzzy way. It's the creative side of your brain. And it's subconscious. The left-hand side, you're thinking about stuff, it's all very conscious. The right-hand side, it's all happens subconsciously. So then you go on in your crossword, you go to other clues and you start working on other things. Maybe you go and make a cup of tea. And your right-hand brain is working on this problem. And when they start putting probes into your head and to see the moment of inspiration when your right-hand side of your brain gets this, gets the answer, they can actually see like a lightning strike that connects neurons together to form the connection, the thought. And this is, you know, the sun is like an orange, is like a tennis ball, it's also yellow like a daffodil. It's those kinds of thoughts and those connections that are not logical necessarily, they're just kind of woolly, fuzzy things. Right-hand side of your brain makes all those connections, works out what's right. It's a lot more clever than we kind of give it credit for. Once it's got that thought, it lets know a part of the brain that is kind of like a transmitter. Once that part knows that we've got an idea, it lets your conscious mind know. So with the big science stuff probing your brain, they can see the idea form before you know it. It forms, it comes to that kind of post office telecoms bit that then lets your conscious mind know that you've had an idea and you've solved the crossword puzzle. Now the big deal about that is if you're in a creative world, to know that the impasse is actually the start of the creative process. It's actually the beginning. It's how your brain knows that bit's over. We're now going to pass it over to the creative side, the right-hand side, and start dealing with it over there instead. And then you can leave it be, and it may or may not come up with an answer. So that feeling of I can't do any more is the beginning of creativity. I really like that. That's it for today. I'll speak to you tomorrow. This has been John Allsop on the Internet Marketing 5 a Day. Thanks a lot. Cheers.